Coming to you live from our Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is our weekly conversation with NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Brought to you by Porter & York. Rare meat, well done. Visit PorterAndYork.com. Now with Ian Rappaport, here's Ian Furness.
Rap Sheet joins us right now, courtesy of Porter & York, PorterAndYork.com. He is with us. And Rap, before we get to the NFL news of the day, if you are a baseball fan, I think we all would love to have an opportunity to do something that you did last week. You threw out the first pitch at a Mets game. Your lovely wife, Leah, was there to be the catcher as well. She caught it. Nice throw, nice catch.
Yep.
What was that experience like? You've done a lot of cool things in your career. What was that experience like?
Oh, this was up there, man. I mean, that was probably as cool as it gets for me. And, I mean, you know, I would also say, like, unbelievably nerve-wracking. Like, I probably got the word about a month ago that I was going to do it. And like my knees immediately started shaking and my stomach went weak. You know, I was scared. You know, you don't want to be 50 Cent or whatever, but it was unbelievable. And then, you know, and they were like, oh, and you have to bring your catcher. How about your wife? Because of COVID protocols, whatever. And I'm like, that would be great. And then the problem is we have to catch it. So like, we went out and practiced a couple times. They told me stay off the rubber, so I did it from right in front. And I wanted to make sure not to either kill her or bounce it. And like, you know, the funny thing is, like, you know, we had not like practiced, but we'd done it a couple times. And then you get out there, and like the crowd's cheering, your heart is pumping, like you start to get short of breath. And I kind of just forgot whatever we had practiced, and I kind of like short-armed it a little bit, but. I'm glad it got there, and I'm glad it was good, and I'm glad it's over, and that it was that we did it. You know,
Kevin took a shot earlier, saying if you're doing it for the Mets, does it even count as a Phillies fan? And I said yes, it does.
Oh, so. It counts. Hey, Mets are hot, man. Like they're playing well.
Yeah, Kev, huh? He's got bigger issues, you know, right now. He's a Sixers fan as well, and they're facing elimination tonight. It's going to be a bad
one. We made it past the Knicks.
Not that great.
We made it past the Knicks, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. Yeah, I don't think Rap has any basketball teams to watch right now, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's good.
That would be very true.
It was awesome. Well, it's cool, and the fact you get to throw it to your wife is even better, which is very nice. So, all right, let's get to some news around the league. Before we get to COVID protocol, Seahawks wrapped up minicamp yesterday. Your boy Mikey G was on yesterday telling our guys that Alden Smith, quote, not to expect much from Alden Smith this year. Pete Carroll said he's in town. He's been around the facility, but he wasn't at any of the public workouts, OTAs, or minicamps. What are you hearing about Alden Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I think his, you know, in order for him to contribute this year, his legal situation would have to be sorted out. You know, I think one thing about Alden Smith is, you know, it was always a little bit of a flyer. You know, like it's not a lot of money. I think it's for the minimum. It was always, you know, the upside is really great. The downside is not a lot. You know, I know he's someone who, you know, just to get out on the field was real victory for him last year. To maintain that and to keep focused and all that, it's difficult. And then he had the legal situation. So, you know, we'll see what he ends up giving. Still on the team, obviously. But I'm with Mike, where my sort of expectations would be low. If things go great and he's a real contributor out there, I think that would be awesome. But, you know, a very Seahawks type of signing where if it doesn't work out, you know, I don't think it's the biggest deal ever, besides kind of what could have been.
I kind of look at him, he's very different circumstances. One guy's had legal troubles, the other guy just has never fulfilled his promise. But the thing that jumped, I mean, they signed Robert Kemdiche as well, and I, the practices I got to see, he looked, he kind of stood out a little bit in the drills as much as you notice him. Those are the kind of signings that I think you're right. Those are Seahawks signings, right? You take a flyer on a guy that's got an upside. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
And, you know, you have a locker room that's strong enough where you can sort of, if a guy needs someone who needs to be pointed in the right direction, like you can withstand that. You can get a couple of those guys. I think Robert Kemdiche, the talent has never been questioned. I mean, he's always been incredibly talented. It's just, is he in shape? Can he keep his head on straight? How focused is he on football? I mean, all of these things. And, you know, I don't know if this is his last shot, but it's probably pretty close.
Yeah.
So if they can get, you know, half of his talent out of him, they'll get a guy who I think contributes. I mean, it kind of reminds me of Deion Jordan, you know,
yep.
Which I think those signings were probably pretty good.
Yep.
The more similar to that for Seattle.
Yeah, and Deion, I think, led Seattle in sacks that year. I mean, it wasn't a big number, but he led him in sacks. So, you try to get that as well. I like those signings. I think it's a typical Seahawks signing, and it's big upside, not a lot of risk, and so away you go. So, Jamal Adams, you hear anything on his contract situation?
I know they've done some negotiating. Obviously, it's not at a place where he was at camp, but then he was also, excused for personal reasons. So, had he not had those personal reasons, would he have been at camp? I don't know. It's nice that they didn't fine him, but I still think there's a ways to go here. And, it's such an interesting contract to do because, he is a great player. I mean, he really is a great player. And I think when he was on the field last year, the way he played, he was worth the two late ones that they traded him for. But, is he a safety? I sort of don't know what he is. I mean, he's really, half outside linebacker, half inside linebacker, edge rusher, plays in the box, a little bit in the post, kind of just plays all over the place, so, which is great. But coming up with a contract is hard because what are the comps? Who do you pay him like?
Rap, I agree. We talked about that on Tuesday with our buddy Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. You just went through it. The breakdown is crazy. He played 102 snaps on the defensive line last year. There is no comp to who he's just he's a great football player, but he's not necessarily a safety. He's not a D end. He's not a linebacker. He's at times all of those things. And I have a feeling we're going to get to July 31st. And that first day of training camp, or we're going to be talking to you going, Rap Sheet, what are you hearing? Adams isn't here.
We've had a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Russ one year.
Yeah.
Russ
got done the day of camp started, I think. Or the night
was
before.
It the morning of? I think it was the morning of.
No, it was the creepy night before video where he released it. Hey, Seattle, what are you doing?
No.
Wasn't that it?
First contract.
His second contract. Yeah. I think it was done that morning. Yeah, I think you're right. It was done that morning, an hour before camp.
So. I just remember, these are the things I remember. I got a call the night before, hey, check on Russell Wilson, this thing's done, and I just couldn't confirm it. And then happened the next morning, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, Russ, you're right. So the second contract was that morning, and the third contract, his latest one, was
in the middle of the night.
The creepy video from bed overnight. Yeah, yeah.
greatest contract announcement video in the history of the world.
Are we sure that's what we're going to call it?
I don't know. I just it was disturbing, and all of us.
And then DJ Fluker did a mock, which was also great.
That was actually the greatest one ever.
DJ Fluker, not a all-time Seahawk, but certainly earned his place in Seahawk lore.
Yes,
with that video. Yeah.
He did. A couple more things for you before I get to COVID protocol. Is there a chance the Chicago Bears would move out of Soldier Field?
Yes. Yes. I think there is. And I hate to say this because my personal sort of view is every stadium should be in a city. I love stadiums in cities, right? It fits into the landscape. You have bars and restaurants around and it looks incredible. You can leave a stadium and go hang out. The atmosphere is great. I could not love it more. But in Chicago, in that spot, there's not a lot of answers. You have the people like the Patriots and the Rams and the Raiders who have kind of malls, real shopping situations around their stadium where they make money from that.
Yep.
And people, can come up on Saturday and just spend, and that helps revenue. The Bears don't have any of that in the city of Chicago in Soldier Field, which is small. So they should have a better stadium. And the problem with that site is you cannot build a stadium on that site because, you could build it, but you have to demolish the other one, play somewhere else for several years, and then go back to it. So it's basically not possible.
And
it's a really hard situation.
It was the second worst stadium renovation ever next to Key Arena here in Seattle, the Sonics renovation. It was almost as bad as that. And to get to the restaurants and bars, it's a little far away. Real fast before I let you go, the COVID protocols. Cole Beasley hates them, but it's pretty simple, right? If you're vaccinated, you're back to normal, and that includes media. If not, it's tough.
Yeah, you don't have to get vaccinated. Everybody should, but you don't have to. But if you're not, it's extremely difficult. You have to wear a mask. How about this for the coaches? Coaches who are not vaccinated cannot be on the field. Literally cannot coach from the field. So then it's if you're a player, you have to wear a mask all the time. on your bye week, you can't leave town. You have to go in every day for a test. Like, is that not incentive enough?
I
missed the test during the COVID protocol. Like, is that what you, you know? So what I imagine is we're going to get to training camp. Players are going to be unvaccinated. They're going to see what it's actually like and be like, I am philosophically against this, but I'm going to get a vaccine because, God, my life is easier if I have one.
Unless your name's Cole Beasley. All right, my friend. Nice job on the throw. Better job on the catch by the wife. Congrats.
Always.
We'll talk to you in a week, man. Take care.